Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. God, your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light that guides us, God. Your word is power. Your word is everlasting to everlasting. Father, whether it's written in Hebrew, Greek, English, whatever language, your word is light. It is light. That is the real language of your word. It is light and it is knowledge. And we thank you. Holy Spirit, I pray today, release this word. Release everything that you've placed in my heart to your people. God, I thank you. As we venture into uncharted waters, God, we know that you are our navigator. You are the one that guides us, Lord. And Father, we thank you. Inspire your word in our heart and our spirit, our soul, and our whole being, Father. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. Are you excited? Yes. Hallelujah. Last week I went home and my wife said to me, my goodness, you preached with so much anger that morning. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? I wasn't aiming anything at anybody. When you speak into the principalities and powers of high places, you address those things. And you know that when I was talking about the spirit of Amalek is a spirit that attacks never in front of us. It never faces you front on. It always comes from behind. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen to that. The spirit of Amalek, if you read in Exodus, God actually reminded the people. He said, remember the spirit of Amalek. That spirit that actually attacked you when you came out of, the Bible says, when you came out from freedom. Not into the promised land, into freedom. When you crossed out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, and you inside freedom. That's when he attacks you. He attacks you from behind. It's a reminder to us to always remember that when you come to Christ, the very first thing that comes against you to pull you down is that spirit. And so on Sunday when I was preaching, I was addressing that spirit. I wasn't addressing anybody. The Bible says our battle is against what? Principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in the what? High places. And that's where we speak to. I spoke about David and Joshua, and I spoke about David coming against a voice. I want to recap a little bit on that before I preach my message this morning, because my message is the same. It's part two of Shift 2020 God Fest. Hallelujah. Somebody say Shift 2020 God Fest. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor that's my message this morning. I'm going to receive something from this morning. Hallelujah. Holy dissatisfaction must cause us to what? Pray. Holy dissatisfaction must cause us to what? Pray. Hallelujah. A praying church is a powerful church. Hallelujah. And my message this morning is to encourage you and to stir the gifts inside you. There's gifts inside of you that are lying dormant for years. Slumbering Christian, slumbering church. Church is going to sleep, the whole world is going to hell. Hallelujah. And so my message yesterday, or last week, was addressing some of the things that we as a church must wake up to it. This is no time. We are not in a season. Listen to me. We are not in a season to be playing good church. Yeah. Nice church. Nice chairs. Good lighting. Nice paint on the wall. Nice cup. We are not in the business of playing nice things in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God suffered violence and what? Violent man take it by force. Hallelujah. Christians, we must all raise up. My message today is what? God First 2020, part two of last week's message. I have not stopped, and I said to the team, I will not stop until God tells me to stop. Hallelujah. We are here for mindset shift. The Bible says, be what? Renewed by the what? Transforming of your mind. Hallelujah. It took 40 years for God to change a generation of people before he took them into the promised land. If it's going to take 25 years, 30 years, then we need to start with the generation that we are with now. What sort of generation are we raising up in the church? That's my key point today. That's my passion today as a pastor of this church. Hallelujah. There's a great quote that Martin Luther King said, and I love that. It says, the church must be reminded that it is not the master or the servant of the state, but rather the conscience of the state. It must be the guide and the critic of the state, and never its tool. Somebody say amen to that. That's a quote from Martin Luther King. And then he says, if a church does not recapture its prophetic zeal, it will become an irrelevant social club without moral or spiritual authority. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want to be in a church that is a social club to anybody. I've been a Christian for 24 years. The last 3-4 years has changed for me. If God is going to use me as a gave me a mantle to do this, then I will do it, and I will lead you and hold on to your hand and say, let's do this together. Hallelujah. Time for playing Christians and nice things is over. This is 2020 mindset shift. Amen. Hallelujah. The month of March is going to be exciting for us. Hallelujah. There is something that happens in the heart of men or women of God, usually before God puts a vision inside. Something starts to stir up inside of you before God even puts the vision inside. Amen. Hallelujah. It's called what? Holy dissatisfaction. Amen. Leaders who are powerfully impacted their generation have a what? Holy dissatisfaction. What? Righteous anger with the status quo. They see injustice, poverty, suffering, sin, and they rise up and dealt with it. Hallelujah. The church is supposed to be doing that. That's the call from God for all of us as Christians to be doing that. We're not here to play a good church, nice church. We're here to fulfill the mandate of God and what God has given us. Hallelujah. Nehemiah had it. He was just a Hebrew cupbearer for the king of Babylon. But when he heard the walls and the gates of Jerusalem were burnt down, broken down, passion, what? Filled his heart, and he wept at great personal risk. He moved to correct the situation. Listen, my friends, Christian life is never easy. If your pastor from other church told you that you are good, God loves you, and life is going to be good, he's lying to you. Christian life is never meant to be easy. Hallelujah. The road of the cross is never meant to be easy. Hallelujah. Oh, I love that scripture. When you come to the crossroad, he says, ask which road is better to follow. And God will always bring you to the rough road. The rugged road. It's a cross country. Hallelujah. It's for people that pick up the cross and follow Christ. This is not a sprint for nobody. It's a cross country. You carry a cross and walk the cross country. Hallelujah. It is not an easy life. So I'm telling you the truth this morning. It is not easy. It's tough. It's hard. Hallelujah. But I said, beware. Be aware and be awake and be alert of what the enemy is doing to us. Be aware of the spirit of Lot that loves the old ways, doesn't want to change. When we start going that way, we become a pillar and a monument in the city. Churches have become just monuments. People walk past it. They're using it as entertainment centers now. I went to Europe and saw an amazing church built with so much design and all these beautiful stained windows and all that stuff. All monuments now. The world is using it for entertainment. Be careful what we as a church is doing. Hallelujah. David had it. He went to see his brothers in the battle against the Philistines, and he heard Goliath. And I said last week, the battle cry is what? Who? He's this uncircumcised Philistines that dared to come against the army of the what? Living God. Your God is living, alive, and well. Amen. It's not a dead God. We're not worshiping some big, fat, round, high, solid statue that we call some God. Everything that becomes a distraction before you, that you put before God, becomes an idol. Hallelujah. I said that last week. His brothers and the Hebrew soldiers mocked him. Listen to what they said in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28 to 30. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the man. And Eliab's anger was arose against David. And he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep with in the wilderness? I know your pride and insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. Of course he's come down to see the battle. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to David's answer. He said in verse 29, what have I done now? He says, is there not a cause? Are we not in the same cause together? Are you out here to fight Goliath, or are you here to argue with me? I'm here for a cause. Hallelujah. That's the kind of spirit that must raise up inside us. If I'm not here for a cause, what am I here for, God? Am I here to just born, grow old and die and go into the cemetery and leave all these wonderful treasures and gifts that you have given me? The cemetery is full of quality people. It's a rich place, richer than the banks and the minefields of anywhere you want to go. It's full of treasure. People dying and carrying all these wonderful treasures with them. I'm here to stir it up for you this morning. Hallelujah. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Hallelujah. The Bible says he ran down into the valley and took Goliath out. Hallelujah. He went on to become what? The greatest king Israel has ever had. David came from a tradition of what? Obedience, submission, humility, patience, and prayer. Prayer, church. Pray. Church service is full, but prayer meetings are empty. Prayer meetings must be full like this. Amen. Hallelujah. If our prayer meetings start to be filled like this, we are onto something. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm here to encourage you this morning. I'm not here to tickle your ears with good messages and make you feel good. I am here to challenge you and raise the gifts inside of you. Amen. Hallelujah. Moses had it. David, Nehemiah, all of them fueled the fire in their hearts and all received a vision from God to act. And they did. And they change the whole nations. God sees fire in our hearts and he calls us to act. Stir up the fire inside of you. Whatever it is that inside of you. Listen to me. You were never born to just born. Grow up, grow old and die. That is a waste of life. You have something to do in God. Amen. Hallelujah. One of the greatest sicknesses in the body of Christ today is an uncaring attitude towards the lost sinning world and laziness, which leads to excuses, which become what? An idol before you. Laziness brings excuses, and then excuses become an idol. And when you start to put in your heart excuses, the Bible says, and you have made up inside your heart excuses, and they will always come. The devil will always use it against you every time when there's things of God to be achieved. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Anything that takes place of God's call in your life is an idol. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Look at what was in the heart of Moses long before God called him. Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 to 12. Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, and when he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens, what did he do? He looked at the burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating an Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked sideways, looked that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him under the sand. Moses saw the injustice and took action. It was probably the wrong action he did, which cost him everything, but he revealed his heart to God. When God saw that, he said, now there's a man. Now there's a woman I want. Righteous anger inside. Holy dissatisfaction about what's going around him. How do you take on these things? You go to prayer. Bible says you put on the full armor of God, and the next line says what? Pray. Hallelujah. The armor of God is for you to protect you from what's coming against you, but it says pray. Pray. Church, pray. Hallelujah. Our prayer meetings must change. Pray. You are not called to be just a person coming to church. You are here for something for this church and for what God has placed you here for. Hallelujah. Look inside yourself and ask God, God, what is it that you want from me? I always say, do not say, God, use me with ignorance. A lot of people say, use me, use me, have your way with me, with so much ignorance. Be careful when you say that to God, because he's going to use you. Hallelujah. The holy dissatisfaction or righteous anger in his heart continued to open doors for him as he moved into the purpose of God, even without realizing it. Hallelujah. Moses didn't realize that he had this thing inside of him. And God said, I like that. I like this man. I like this woman. Hallelujah. There's no compromise in his life. That's the kind of man and woman I want to use. Hallelujah. It takes the faith of one man. It takes the faith of one teenager. Hallelujah, Nathaniel. It takes the faith of one teenager. It takes the faith of one little boy with five loaves of bread and two fish. Hallelujah. It takes the faith of those that are going to come out and say, God, this is all I got. But I know you're a God that will extend this, that will empower this. Hallelujah. There are going to be people coming against you, and there are already people coming against this church. When you know that you are on the right track, you will get attacks. I talked about persecution last week. Persecution will come. And you know what? Persecution is already happening. What? It's the voice that is coming against the church. That is your persecution, my friends.
Yes, amen.
You're waiting for stones to fly? It's coming out in words. So you go to your prayer closet and you go against the principalities and powers that influences those words. Are you frightened of words? Goliath stood there and just shouted and said, send your best man to come and fight me. He was just words going out. He didn't even throw a javelin or throw anything at them. And the Bible says, and they were all frightened of his what? Words. Hallelujah. We are talking to principalities and powers of our high places, my friends. That's our battle today. It's never aimed at anybody sitting here. It's aimed at something that's influencing the area that you live in. Your family, your job, your relationship. Everything always influenced by something over the high places. There are two names that are known in hell. And the Bible tells them about us. Jesus and Paul. Hallelujah. Jesus we know. Paul we know. They're feared in hell. People, the names, when Satan sends out his cohorts to go and do damage in the world, he says, be careful of Jesus and Paul. Now you carry Jesus inside of you. Hallelujah. Your name should be feared in hell. Hallelujah. Jesus we know, Paul we know, Corey we know. Hallelujah. Jesus we know, Paul we know, Mama Alice we know. Hallelujah. Jesus we know, Paul we know, Diane we know. Hallelujah. Your name should be feared in hell, my friends. Hallelujah. That's your calling in God. You are not an insignificant Christian sitting here frightened of everything. God, Jesus said, I have given you what? All authority, what? To step on scorpions and to uproot. Jeremiah 1:10 says what? I have given you power. Hallelujah. To uproot, to destroy, and what? To rebuild all the things of God. I love it. I love it. Rise up, church. We are 2020 shift. This is not time to play church. This is not time to be nice and pretend that everything's okay in the spiritual realm. We are coming under attack. The church is coming under attack. And the church is slumbering, sleeping. I talked about uncharted waters, and Papa Joe gave me an amazing story about, because he was an engineer of a ship. And he said, Pastor, when you spoke that, God showed me something. He said, when the ship goes into uncharted waters, the captain calls everybody, whether you're off duty or on duty, they call you up to what? Shine the light and look at where the reefs are, because our lives are in danger. The church will go into uncharted waters, and the church will need every Christian, every man, woman, and children. Rise up from the slumbering spirit and watch out and look out for what's coming against the church. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I'm fired up. Last week I felt the rumbling of the spirit inside of my stomach that I've never felt before. I said, God, hallelujah. My brothers and sisters in ministry, family and friends, we are not a company of fools at the expenses of the anointing that God has given us. Hallelujah. Jesus said, and these signs will follow them. These signs that will follow them. They shall what? Cast out demons, and they shall what? Speak in other tongues. Meaning we are in control of the spirit world and of our tongue arrested by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, speaking truth in love and purity, our words create words, possibilities everywhere when we speak. That's why he said, guard your heart, watch your tongue, whatever you say. Don't be a bumper sticker Christian. You put a bumper sticker on your car, you better leave according to that word. Hallelujah. We are in control of the spirit world. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. The spirit of Amalek has an haughtiness about it. What's haughtiness? Pride, unbelief, no fear of God. The church have lost this fear of God. Through fear of God, we have lost it. We dress up nice to go and shake hands with the queen. We dress up nice to go to interviews. We come to church in rags. Come on, God challenged me on that. You want to be holy? You want to be righteous? Bring yourself into the right standing with God. That's holiness. Don't come to church in rags. You're going to go and get a job interview and you dress up nice to go and impress somebody. How about the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords and the Lord of hosts? That's a fear of God. Hallelujah. When you start to fear God, all these things will come into play in your life. Amen. Fear of this pulpit. Fear of what's happening inside the church. Fear of talking against the pastor of the church. Fear of talking against other Christians in the church. Respecting what the man of God is doing. This country has lost it. That's why we are dealing with an illiterate, Bible illiterate generation. And that's why this church must rise up to deal with the generation. Hallelujah. I said to the young people, if somebody comes to you and said, young woman said, I love you and you are the sunshine of my life, you tell him, shut up and give him the first commandment of God. Love God first before you love me. I love you and you're the sunshine of my life. And hey, there could be a moonshine of his life somewhere too that only comes out at night like a Dracula. You think you're the sunshine of his life until you find out there's a moonshine of his life too. So ask him and tell him, shut up, love God first before you love me. If not, you are in the purpose of what God is doing for me. Tell him, shut up, love God. Otherwise, you're in hindrance to God's purpose in my life. Hallelujah. That's a message for somebody right now. Young people, what kind of generation are we raising up here? You, fathers and mothers, coming to church must be a wonderful tradition for family. You sit down at your house and complain about your community is this and your community is that and your city is like that. Well, you are the one that's heading to the cause of this because you keep your children from church. Bring your children to church. Hallelujah. It's a great tradition. Hallelujah. Don't complain that they've gone wayward. Whose fault is it? Your fault. Hallelujah. You are the foundation of the house. They don't look at the windows and condemn a building. They look at the foundation and condemn the building. Amen. Fathers, rise up. Mothers, rise up. Don't come to church because there's a guest speaker in the house. Amen. Don't come to church because there's a special occasion happening in the church. Yeah. Hallelujah. That is the problem with us church this today. We have conferences and feeding Christians, overfed Christians, bringing a prophet and a speaker and a star-studded lineup of musicians. And when they leave, the pastor is left to deal with all the dirty work. The church is left to deal with all the dirty work. That's you. They don't care about your church. You are the ones that God has placed you inside the church to be the watchman over the church. Not a guest speaker, not a prophet, not anybody else. I love guest ministries. I love that. Hallelujah. But we should not come to church because somebody is here. God is here. Every Sunday, God is here. Hallelujah. That's a mindset shift. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, is the most fascinating man who ever lived. Hallelujah. He spoke and people's jaws dropped. Hallelujah. Their wise eyes wide open. They were amazed at his teaching. How staggered they must have been when they saw him unlock the dumb tongues and open up deaf ears and put vision into the sightless eyes and chase demons back to hell. And they were eyes wide open. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Evelyn, I know. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Alan, I know. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Ben, I know. Hallelujah. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Roger, I know. Your word, your name should be ringing in hell. Demons should be fearing your name. Hallelujah. We're dealing with principalities and powers of high places, my friends. Hallelujah. His words, by his own definition, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, hallelujah. Somebody say words. The words that I speak to you, they are what? Spirit and life. Hallelujah. You're receiving spirit and life this morning. Spirit and life. Straight, direct from the throne room of God. Hallelujah. And here's the amazing thing. The disciples never asked him to teach them to do that miracle. He saw them chase demons to hell. They saw him did all that amazing miracle, walk on water. Most of us will say, I want to walk on water, Christ. Because I want the wind news to come and put the cameras on the Trinity Inlet as I was walking in. That's most of us. Most of us are like, oh, I'm a prophet now. And we're going to print cards and prophet this and prophet that and all this other stuff. Self-promotion. John never claimed any of that. They asked him, who are you? Are you a prophet? John said, I am none of the above. I'm just a voice calling in the wilderness. Hallelujah. God is looking for voices. Voices. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Father. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm excited. Some of them received the greatest opportunity, and he took Peter, James, and John to a prayer meeting on a mountain in the mountain of Transfiguration. What did they do? They fell asleep. Then he gave them another chance, and he took him to the Garden of Gethsemane, and they fell asleep. Church, we cannot throw the first stones at the disciples. Look at ourselves. We're falling asleep every time, and the world's going to hell. Your community is going to hell. Don't blame the disciples. Look at ourselves and start to fire up your prayer life. Hallelujah. Talking and stop speaking about anything doesn't change anything until you get into the war room, a place of prayer. Kumban prayer meeting of the church is very important for us. Hallelujah. We cannot cast the first stone at the disciples. While the church slept, the enemy what? Sowed tares into the field. While we have been holding conferences and theological puzzles, arguing about doctrines and patting people on the back and telling them God loves you. No. That has to change. That has to change. We mouth words about eternity and live and think like it will never come. If you talk about eternity, you better understand it is coming. Don't live like it's not going to come. Hallelujah. Understanding your call is bigger than being born, getting old, and dying. I'm constantly throwing challenges at you. The last couple of weeks and Sundays, I've just been throwing challenges at the church. Some of you think that the pastors are the ones that are responsible for the prayer life of a church. What have you been reading? A phantom comic? Look at the word in Revelation. It tells you that everyone is a priest unto him. Everyone, every Christian. You call yourself a born-again Christian, you're a priest unto your family. You're a priest unto your workplace. You're a priest unto your friends. You're a priest and you're in charge of prayer. It's not the pastor's job. Hallelujah. Our current use of the word revival is misused. We use it to announce the yearly revival meetings. Like I said before. Invite star-studded lineups of people. Nothing changed. When they go back, the church has gone back to its sleeping party, slumbering again while the world is going to hell. Revival starts in where? A man's heart, my friends. Through prayer. Prayer meetings must be full just like the normal church service. Not a combined church prayer meeting. This church should be full in prayer. I'm throwing the challenge out to you, every one of you sitting here today. That's a challenge from God Himself. Hallelujah. Who shall go up to the mountain of the Lord. Hallelujah. It takes blood, tears to start a revival. I want to use Papa Buri. Stand up, please. I talk about revival and I talk about persecution, and you think I'm telling some fibs. This man here, he's been punched, beaten by planks and timber when he took the gospel to his village. Persecution. You talk about persecution in this country, you don't know nothing. Punched, blood dripping down, hit with a timber when he took the gospel of Jesus Christ to a Lutheran stronghold. And religion came against him. Thank you, Papa. I don't know. I had to use Papa because I'm glad he's here. He's a man that I sit down and talk to with every time. So much wisdom. And he tells me, son, you're on the right path. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. He even discouraged a pastor in his church to go to Bible college. A young pastor came to him and said, Papa, I want to go to Bible college. He says, no. They don't teach you what Holy Spirit is doing right now. Amen. They'll kill you in Bible college spiritually. You'll die an agonizing spiritual death in a Bible college. He said, let the Holy Spirit teach you right now. And the church revival meeting broke. Hallelujah. Amen. True revival is God's coming to the head of a sick church. Reviving, that is revived church going to a dead world under the divine power, pulling down the strongholds of Satan. True revival changed the moral climate inside our city. Don't talk about revival ignorantly until you know what revival is. And it doesn't start from great church meetings. It starts in prayer. Starts in the hearts of men. Hallelujah. I love the word in Isaiah chapter 66. It says, where is the house that you have prepared for me? God is questioning the church. Where is the house that you claim that you have prepared for me? But then he said at the bottom, he says, only the ones with what? Contrite heart and spirit will receive this thing that I've talked about. There are Christians who claim that, you know, our main obstruction to revival is what? Eternal security. You know what eternal security is? Once saved, never lost. They said many times, oh, that's an obstruction. Listen to me. Obstruction, you can go around it. But that is a barrier. Eternal security is a barrier. It causes Christians to become lazy. A barrier is something that you cannot go through. It's not an obstacle. An obstacle, you can go around it. Once saved, never lost is a barrier for those that are trying to reach the world. Hallelujah. It is important for us to understand that. No eternal security. It's not an obstruction. It is a spiritual barrier. It causes Christians to become uncaring, spiritually overfed, and lazy. Somebody say amen to that. I'll five your friends and say hallelujah. That is my word. That is my word this morning. Come on. Or is it just me? I'm high-fiving myself too. Hallelujah. That's my word. Hallelujah. Listen to this. The Lord demands in Psalm chapter 24, verse 3 to 4, it says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? In other words, who may come into his holy presence in an unholy state? God is questioning the church. But then he answers it himself. Or who may stand in his holy place? God himself gives the answer. And he says, he who has what? Clean hands and a pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully. The hands refer to our contact with the world. One hand inside the world, one hand inside the church. One leg in the world, one leg in the kingdom. Hallelujah. That is a very uncomfortable position to be. But there are people like that. And you wonder why your prayers are not being answered. It talks about your hands. Those with clean hands. Professing Christians who live one foot in the world and the other foot in the kingdom. Professing Christians who live like the devil on Monday to Sunday, and Sunday they put on a nice holy face, come to church. Monday, devil all the way up to Saturday. This is not the church that Jesus said, I will build my church and no gates of hell shall prevail. That is not the church, my friends. Come on. We understand grace. I understand all that. It is through grace that you are saved and not through your works. But do not let grace be a stumbling block for what God is trying to use you for. Hallelujah. God demands clean hands, hands with no grime and filth, hands with no greed, hands with not that they're not fouled in illegal gains. Then he says what? A pure heart. God demands this from approaching his holy throne. Our desires must be pure, our motives must be pure, our purpose must be pure, our hearts must be purified from unbelief, our soul ambition is to see him glorified. Amen. With all cost to us. Amen. The Bible says, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall what? See God. Amen. You want to see God? Yes. Clean your hands, clean your hearts. Then you will start to see God. Amen. Then you'll start to hear from God. Then you start to receive from God. Blessed are those who have what? Clean hands and pure heart, for they shall what? See God. Without holiness, no man can see God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. I love that. James chapter 5, verse 16 says what? A fervent prayer of a righteous man, what? Avails much. Fervent prayer can only come from a righteous man or a righteous woman. How can you pray when you are walking in sin? How can you pray when you're living in sin? How can you go before the holy presence of God when you're living in sin? God said, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Hallelujah. It's a challenge. My friends, it is time to stop using slick Christian phrases you hear all the time from pulpits, from preachers, or even bumper stickers. Don't become a bumper sticker Christian. Hallelujah. God does not see me. He is one of them. God does not see me as a sinning saint. He sees me through Christ. Sticker. Oh, here's a good one. Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. Sticker. Listen to me, you bumper sticker Christians. We'll keep using phrases here. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15 says, but has he who called you, who is what? Holy. Everybody say holy. Holy. You also be what? Holy in all your behavior. Hallelujah. Amen. You see Christians with bumper stickers driving along smoking. Doctors come to you and say, do not smoke, it causes lung cancer. Goes out and light up. Educated fools, I call them. Don't be a bumper sticker Christian. Let the word of God settle inside your heart and stay. When people see you, they read the scriptures. They see the Bible. They see Christ. Hallelujah. Many Christians, like I said, claim pastors alone are responsible for the prayer life of a church. What have they been reading? I said, Phantom Comics, eh? Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own what? Blood, and has made us what? Kings and priests to his God, the Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God is answering all your excuses this morning. Every excuse you have in the book, God has an answer for it right here. Your constitution of the kingdom of God tells you that. You cannot make excuses because the Bible will find you out. Amen. Every excuse you make, the Bible will say, I got an answer for that. You want to come up with an excuse? Jesus said, I got an answer for you. Hallelujah. I want to close with these principles and blueprints. I've been talking to the leaders about blueprints. We talk about the book of Acts chats a lot. We try every kind of man-made programs and all these amazing things, thinking that we will fill the church up or get somebody saved. But let me tell you the blueprint. Acts chapter 1, verse 48. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to what? Depart from Jerusalem and to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, For John truly baptized with water, but you shall baptize with the Holy Spirit. Not many days from now, hallelujah. He told them, not many days from now, you're going to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And in verse 6, he says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, Jesus, they saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And listen to what Jesus said. And he said to them, he says, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. There are some things that God will reveal to you, and there are some things that are for God and God alone. And he will reveal it at the fullness of time. Hallelujah. But there are other things that God will reveal to you, like the blueprint or the formula of something that he has already given. And the disciples had that. They had nothing. Jesus said, they asked him a question. He just didn't tell him when he was coming back. He didn't tell him anything else. He says, just go and wait. And so when they were waiting, the Bible says, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witness to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. You have to understand, the Holy Spirit revealed to these disciples a formula. There's a formula inside this book. There's a blueprint inside this book. Church, we must stop all our programs. Stop all our preconceived ideas about revival. We'll start this and there. The formula says pray. The formula of this book is very simple. He didn't tell him that the day of his return or when he was going to restore the kingdom. He just said, wait. They discovered a formula or a blueprint and decided to what? Stick with it. Men like Papa Buri didn't have YouTube. Didn't have any TV evangelists preaching to him. Didn't have all these resources that you and I have this day, the day and age we're living in. All he had was his faith, his passion, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit, and a walking stick. And he walked mountains and valleys in Papua New Guinea preaching the Word of God. Hallelujah. Got attacked, got physically abused, got slapped across the face, spat on, called names, but he preached the Word of God. And many came to Christ, revival broke inside the village, and now the church is planted inside the village. Hallelujah. Amen. They worked on a formula, prayer. Amen. Simple blueprint of God. Hallelujah. Let me just finish. In Acts chapter 2, verse 40 to 47. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And then those who gladly received his word were baptized. That day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Hallelujah. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Not signs and wonders. The apostles' doctrine. I saw men like Papa Buri do things. That's why I'm doing it. Amen. He saw his father's doing it. That's why he's following it. Amen. This is the apostles' doctrine, how they did it. Jesus never gave them anything else except what he told them to do. And they what? Fellowship in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Verse 43, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. There is a key in there that calls fear. We have lost the true fear of God in the church. When you start bringing the fear and the reverence and the awe of God back into the church, you will start to see something happening. And the key point is in verse 42. They decided that they have come this far. There is no turning back. You must understand, this guy sold the business. Peter sold his fishing business, sold his nets, gave everything away. Matthew gave up his tax collecting business. Everybody came, walked away from family, and they all came. There was no turning back. And they said, he said to wait. Now this is going to work or we are in trouble. And by faith, they waited. And then the Holy Spirit came. Hallelujah. So in their mind, they're saying, Jesus told us to wait, then we will wait. Let's go back to the apostles' doctrine and the blueprint of what it is that they're doing. they continually what? Steadfastly fellowship in the breaking of bread and in prayer. Hallelujah. They decided to continue steadfast in the disciples' doctrine because they didn't know the season or the time. They stayed true to the formula. Somebody say, amen. Hallelujah. It's that simple that we've decided to make it so difficult. The gospel of Jesus Christ is so simple, easy. Even a baby can understand it. And the Bible says in 44, now all who believed were together and all things in common and sold all their possessions and goods and divided them among all as everyone had needed. They were practicing kingdom economy. They were giving and they were receiving. They were not buying and selling. They were just giving and they were receiving. So stop talking about, oh, I don't believe in tithes and offerings. Shut up. God gave you everything and only asked for a little bit. Amen. But then he said, give and it shall be what? Given unto you, pressed down, shaken over. Hallelujah. Don't come and talk to me about the doctrine of tithes and offering. Oh, it's the Old Testament. Shut up. The kingdom of God is about giving and receiving. Simple as that. Don't make it too complicated. Give and it shall be what? Given back to you. Hallelujah. Kingdom economy. Kingdom principles. Kingdom-minded people. They stayed on the kingdom economy. They gave and received. Hallelujah. We're coming into a stage where there won't be any more buying and selling. And the kingdom of God must go back to its economy to realize that it's the giving and the receiving that's important in the life of a Christian. To see the miracle of God, you got to give. Young boy, 2 fish, 5 loaves, didn't know nothing about mathematics. 5,000 people, he said, we can share my lunch. God looked at that faith of that little boy that says we can share the lunch and says, God, you had him. Now multiply this so I can feed 5,000 people. Hallelujah. I talked about Henry. Where's Henry? I love Henry. There he is. If you missed this last Sunday, let me just talk about Henry. This is Henry. Henry, everything to Henry. If you give him a 50 cents, to him, that's $3. $1 to Henry, that's $3. He just came from heaven, my friends. His spirit, his faith is pure. So when he gives up the father 50 cents, he said, I don't know how you do it, but Lord, I know I'm going to get the toy car with that 50 cents. That's all God is asking for us. I had to bring this illustration back to us, that when we come back to walking in faith like this, my goodness, the church will change. Hallelujah. Thank you, Henry. Love you, buddy. I love that. That boy's, God spoke, Holy Spirit spoke when he said that. I gave him $1 and he said, oh, my $3, I'm thinking. My goodness, we've lost it. We've been corrupted by this world. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. Jesus went beyond tithing. He said, give and it shall be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken over, running over will be poured onto your lap. For with the measure you choose or you use, it will be what? Measured back to you. Listen, go back. Go back to the blueprint of what the apostles were doing. If you want to see the church break all these barriers, then it's just so simple. Prayer. Our prayer life and our prayer meetings in church must start to build up. Nothing else can bring revival except when the prayer and the revival starts inside of the hearts of men. When it starts inside your heart, nothing can stop it. Not even the devil can pinpoint it. It's not going to come out like some bushfire or some wind or some... No, it's going to happen inside your heart. Hallelujah. And no denomination, no church, nobody can claim that revival. It belongs to God. Only God gives you that. So you cannot say and put a title on it and say, we are the ACC or the AOG or the KGB or the CRC or whatever it is that you want to call yourself. This is not about the title and the denomination. This is about the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. The apostles knew that. Hallelujah. I praise God for our fathers. They walked with the simple Bible. Simple, humble man of God with so much faith. You know what I said about bringing your children to church? Bring them to church. Don't come to church and wait because there's a guest speaker coming and you fill the church. At the end of the day, you are the one left with the job in the local church that you're in. And all the guest speakers and everybody got paid and got money and they left. There was a young man. I'm not going to mention names. But he was preaching at a church in PNG. And he told me that story and I was like, wow. He preached a powerful sermon and there was this multi-million dollar businessman in the church. Came to him with a packet full of thousands of kina and gave it to him. And this young man said, what's in your wallet? And he says, oh, it's only 100 kina. He says, he grabbed the wallet of this man, took the $100 or 100 kina out, gave him back the wallet, and he says, you take this $1,000 and give it to your local pastor. Give it to your church. He's the one that's going to deal with everything when I'm gone. Give me the $100. I'll survive on that. Oh, hallelujah. That's a principle. Amen. We come and give to guest speakers and guest ministries. We give. But when it comes to giving to your local church, the ones that are going to handle all the daddy work, nobody wants to give. Amen. Hallelujah. This is a kingdom of God we're talking about here. Yeah. This is a mindset shift we're going to talk about here. If it's going to take 40 years for us to change, then so be it. But God never gave up. There was a generation that he took, and you must understand the generation of Joshua are not young people. They're young people in the spirit. All men with the power and the fire of Joshua. It's not about a generation of young men and young women. It's about those who believe, and those who dare to believe the word of God. That's our Joshua generation. Take that mindset of, oh, it's the new generation. No, it's not. When you stand up and become somebody that God called you to be, then you are a Joshua generation. Hallelujah. That's the kingdom of God, my friends. Hallelujah. I'm done. Thank you. I'm going to pray. I want you to all stand. I want you to mean business with God. The gospel, preaching the gospel, coming to church, that's God's business. If he starts it, he will finish it. It's no man's job. It's no man's anything. Men don't have anything to do with it. That's God's business. And when you say, I mean business with God, you better mean business with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Because this business requires everything.
Amen.
Everything. Full sacrifice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want you all to hold hands. I'm going to pray. I'm going to release the fire and the power of God upon you. I want to release this hunger. Break every yoke. Break every spirit of easiness and taking life easy. And let's just get hungry for God. Let's just let our hearts start crying for the souls that are out there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you. Oh, Father, I worship you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have released your word, Lord, upon your people. Father, every man, women, and children, they're here because you called them. This day today, the 1st of March, was, Lord, ordained for them. It was specifically on the kingdom calendar, oh God, for each and every man, women, and children standing in this building today. Father, I pray and I release, oh God, everything, every anointing, oh God. Father, the anointing that breaks every yoke. Father, that everything that though you have purpose for every man, women, and children. God, I release all that, everything, Lord, upon their lives. I come against every principalities and powers of high places. Everything that may have been spoken, every curse that has been spoken against them, every negative word that has been spoken against them. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I speak to you. I serve notice to you, demon powers of principalities and powers of high places. You have no power. You have no authority. You have no control. You have nothing above the family of God. Every man, woman, and children in this place, lives have a purpose in God. Father, I pray your blessing, oh God, upon them. Let your blessing settle in their families, settle in their jobs, settle in their hearts, oh God. Let the fire of God start to burn inside of their hearts, oh God. Let that zeal, oh God, that consumes every man, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for that holy dissatisfaction, Lord, to come upon them, God, that they will not sit and let the enemy run over them, but they will stand and they will speak and they will release, oh God, the power and the authority that you've already given them, oh God, above and over every situation. Oh, Father, I worship you. We honor you. Oh, Rebrakeshe Beteke Peshiba Baba Baba. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. I come against every spirit of drug addiction. I come against every spirit of fornication. I come against every spirit of adultery. I come against every spirit of pornography. Everything that is hindering your people today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak to you. In the name of Jesus, every principalities, I pull you down. Jeremiah 1:10 says that you have given us authority, Lord, to what? To uproot, to destroy, and to rebuild, oh God. Father, in the name of Jesus. That name is above all name. That in the mention of this name, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Who shall go up into the hill of the Lord? Hallelujah. Who shall go up into the hill of the Lord? Only those with the clean hands and pure hearts. Father, today we come and we lay our lives before the cross. We take up our cross and we run along the cross country that you've given us. Father, we thank you. Lord, I pray that that word will settle in the hearts of your people today. Let it stir them up. Let it make them, cause them to be uncomfortable, oh God, in the spirit, that they may rise up, oh God. Rise up all the gifts that are sitting inside of them. Father, we thank you. We honor you. We love you. We thank you for challenging us. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the word, oh God, that will cause us, Lord, to not be just mediocre Christians, oh God, but Lord, we're here not to build a franchise in the kingdom of God. We're here to build the church that you said that no gates of hell shall prevail against it. Father, we thank you. We honor you and we thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. And all God's people agree and said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, let's sing and praise him this morning before we sit down. Oh!